The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. You're listening to an interview with a webcomic artist recorded at SPX. It's SPXplosion on Boldly Going Nowhere. We hope you find it both informative and entertaining. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Everyone, continuing with our webcomic series here at SPX.
SPXplosion.
Boldly Going Nowhere now has the pleasure to interview Mr. Frank Gibson, co-creator of Tiny Kitten Teeth.
You made me sound so fancy, like I actually did something of worth with my life.
Oh, we give you the royal, we give you the star treatment here.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, SPX is nothing but star treatment, in my opinion. I mean, like, look at this gorgeous Marriott that we sit within.
Oh, it's very classy.
It's a nice hotel, I will admit. Like, we had a room yesterday, and for, like, because we were going to do interviews all day yesterday, but we ended up having to switch days just because we wanted to make things easier on everybody else. And so, what was it? But, I mean, the room we had was nice.
It's pleasant for sure. It's very Marriott, though. If you spent time in other Marriotts, there is a sameness like this. This is very much like the Toronto Marriott that we go to for, like, the Toronto Comic Arts.
Yeah, my mom used to work for Marriott, so
oh, beautiful.
Okay, yeah. So you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know all about this Marriott business.
All about it,
Mr. Marriott and his son Marriott Jr., who run this gorgeous franchise. Mm.
All right, so Frank, for those who may not be familiar with you and your work, could you tell us a little about what you do, a little bit about Tiny Kitten Teeth?
Sure. Well, Tiny Kitten Teeth is a hand-painted online comic. We used to have an update schedule that no longer exists. It's entirely painted in gouache by my wife and creative partner, Becky Dreistadt. I write the words for it. The story is in itself quite simple. It's more an execution thing. It's about a cat that goes to college, but it's hand painted. So that kind of that puts a little spin on an otherwise mundane story.
Yeah, I'm reading it, and it reminds me a little bit of, like, a slightly more twisted Animal Crossing. Like, I'm waiting for a raccoon to show up and, like, lend the main character a bunch of money and then threaten to break his kneecaps.
Exactly. Like Becky loved, adored Animal Crossing. Like, the artistic style is kind of, like, an influence equally between, like, video games, like, Japanese animation, as well, like, particularly, like, a vintage animation concept art from Disney, like, 1950s, 1960s, children's illustrations, like, which is also something we do. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like the melting pot of the art style for Tiny Kitten Teeth.
Mm. Yeah, and I don't think I'd be exaggerating if I said that Tiny Kitten Teeth is one of the most visually striking comics
I have seen.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Aww.
I mean, you guys
are too sweet.
Well, I mean, like, when we first, I believe the first time we actually were familiarized with your guys' work, you guys did, I don't mean, I'm almost positive, I could be wrong, just because it's been a while since I've been on their website, but did you guys do I think you guys did a collaboration with Penny Arcade, like,
yes,
a couple
yes.
months
oh,
back?
I was barely involved in that, but I was mostly sitting there watching Becky, like, kill herself painting that thing, but it was, yeah, lookouts for Penny Arcade.
Yeah, there's, like, the Boy Scout.
Yeah, like, Penny Arcade had, like, their three stories that were going to be non-Penny Arcade. There was, like, Automata about, like, a robot detective.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one about Jim Dark Magic, I think, Dark Talent, something mm-hmm. like that. And then the third one was lookouts, and, like, there was a voting thing, and they were going to draw one of them. And Mike from Penny Arcade, he's been a big supporter of Becky's for years and years and years. And we've been involved in, like, Child's Play. Becky did, like, some Pikachu paintings and Animal Crossing paintings for the auctions. And, yeah, he just approached us and said, like, do you want to draw Penny Arcade for a week? And they paired Becky up with a writer from the show Heroes as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
So it was a huge deal for us. But, yeah, that's where a lot of people were exposed to our work. Either that or, like, the other guest comics we did, because we're guest comic whores, I believe, is the the technical term for it.
Well, I mean, like I said, that was my first turn on to the work, but I mean, I remember going over to your guys' website that night after reading the Penny Arcade.
And did our site even work? Like, Penny Arcade, like, wanged our server in, like, a serious way.
I bet.
I mean, it was crazy. Like, I went over to your guys' website, and I went through the entire archive in a couple of hours.
Yeah, like that's one of the difficult things about our comic. Like, we have, like, 100-something pages behind us, but we have been doing it for almost 3 years now. It's just, like, with a painted page, like the amount of time, like, it takes Becky at least, like, 3 days to paint a page at this point.
Oh, wow. But, I mean, that alone, I mean, just, I mean, the level of artistic...
It's completely worth it. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's so wonderful to watch that, like, unfold. And, like, we share a desk, so I just get to watch, like... the process of like this gorgeous piece of art being put together every week. I'm very, very fortunate in that regard.
Very, very cool. So was Tiny Kitten Teeth a situation where you had the artwork first, you had these character designs, and you're like, all right, what are they doing? Let's come up with a story to explore this world. Or you had a story and then it came to life through the art.
Let me weave you a narrative tapestry about...
All right, all means.
Becky was graduating college. The last night of her college, we're packing up her apartment after she graduated. We're the last ones there. I had been living in New Zealand. She'd been going back to school in Savannah, Georgia. And we packed everything up and we got a pizza on our very last night there. And we hadn't done comics together for about a year at that point because she was very busy. And the pizza delivery guy's like, huh, this is like a new dorm. And Becky's like, oh, it's been here for a few years. He's like, yeah, not when I went to the college. And we talked to him. He's like, yeah, I was a graphic design major. I went to college for 5 years, and I'm paying off my student loan, still delivering pizzas, not working in any industry. And we sat down on the floor for a while and kind
of reassuring.
Considered our options. And we then, for 6 months, spent time putting together character designs and world building and stuff. So that we, and like, I don't want to say like strong characters because that's me tooting my own horn, but like at the very least elaborate characters that I can just kind of set loose upon a world and we know exactly how they'll act. There is fuel for years. We spent 6 months developing the comic before we drew a single page.
Wow.
There was research put into outfits, designs. Like it was a very serious period of time because we didn't want to be Pizza Guy. Like, we didn't want to be the guy who was waiting for a job. We decided, like, we'd done webcomics before to, like, a lesser degree, but then we decided, like, okay, this is... We're watching, like, our friends and colleagues, now colleagues, do it, and we're like, okay, maybe we can trick people into, like, letting us do this as well.
This comic, definitely out of a lot of the people we're interviewing, is definitely one of the more visually striking comics. Rightfully
like,
so.
Yeah, it is like the focus is definitely visual in the comic. Like I feel like if I say more than 8 words in a panel, like I'm crowding out the art. So I try and keep what I say to a minimum. I just like try and enable Becky to do what she does. Yeah.
I think that's the great thing about webcomics is the range of formats and styles and methodologies towards creating them is so different because I mean on one end of the spectrum you got you guys. Other spectrum, you got stick figures, you got rage comics, you got
There's such a broad spectrum of comics. Like it's kind of funny they all get grouped together like web comics because like they like that's the method of transmission. And somehow, despite that, there was a whole like a social group created around it. I don't know how it happened, but it was a lucky, fortunate thing that all these people make all these very different comics. We end up hanging out every month at comic conventions.
Well, and this is something I've been, you know, we've been talking about the last couple of days is the more we think about it, it's the people, I mean, people from our generation, you know, mid-20s, you know, early 30s, we were all raised on newspaper comics, you know, Calvin and Hobbes, Peanuts, all that. And it's sort of that sort of nostalgic bit, you know, where we'll still read comics. But obviously, you know, the criteria does change just because, you know, we've all grown up. We've gone past that fancy stage. So, you know, like, for instance, Tiny Kitten Teeth, you know, questionable content, Dr. McNinja. I mean, it's got, you know, more adult theme situations, but, you know, it's still got that harken back to the art of the old days.
Yeah, like, all of us, like, clearly have, like, a deep, deep respect for anything that's, like, come before our work. Like I think in webcomics especially, everyone wears their influences, like, proudly on their sleeves as badges of honor, essentially.
Yeah. So I think it was a very interesting... event when, you know, Diesel Sweeties actually got syndicated in print.
Yeah, like, that was huge, man. Like, but at the same time, like even Rich, like, who makes Diesel Sweeties, would say at this point, we don't need it anymore. Like, it's cool when you see your stuff in print, but that's more for fun. Like, it's, and, like, getting a different audience is fun, and, like, accessing, like, perhaps, like, not like a tech-savvy audience, and or people who are already into the webcomic scene, like, that's very fun, and we'd love to bring more people in, but we don't need it, and it's great. Like,
yeah.
Like, we don't need anyone to say, like, oh, we're going to publish you and give you this, like, this editorial stamp of approval. And at first, like, there was some very, I would say, not great, is the diplomatic way of saying it, comics that were sort of at the... in the nexus of webcomics beginnings. But for the most part, like, the quality of the work at this point is just, like, it's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
And now I think the book companies are finally, in the syndicates and what have you, kind of perking their little ears up and saying, like, oh, maybe there's money to be made in this online comics thing that we've been hearing about.
I mean, clearly there is, because, I mean, there are people who are now able to support themselves just doing this. I mean, there are people, yeah, you know, like Jeff, like Chris Hastings, like Ridge. I mean, all these guys who are, like, big names here, but you go out onto the street, ask the average person, and they've never read a single webcomic. They would not know any of these names.
Like, yeah, like, even at San Diego Comic Con, I was talking to a volunteer there, and she's like, what comic do you do? And I'm like, I do Tiny Kin Teeth. And she's like, oh, what company puts that out, DC or Marvel? and I'm like, no, it's not like that anymore. We don't have to do that. And she's,
you don't,
like,
have,
really,
to live like this.
No. It's like, my cats don't have to have capes, you know, when I'm riding,
yeah,
them or anything like that. We're not constrained in that way. Things have changed. But, like, yeah, I feel like the, like, even though, like, we're integrated in situations like this, I feel like the web comics and print comic scenes at least the mainstream, like, superhero print comic scenes, they're so far apart, it's completely different at this point. Like,
yeah.
Like, there are some webcomics that, of course, like, love the superhero genre, like, work in it and play with it, like Dr. McNinja essentially does.
Right.
But I don't think anyone at this point has a genuine aspiration for the... Well, they were the big three, like Marvel, DC, Image. I don't think that's...
I believe so, yeah. It was, yeah, Marvel, yeah, Marvel, DC, and Image.
Yeah. I mean, now it's Marvel, DC, and IDW, I believe.
I think so, because, I mean, Image is still around, but they're nowhere. Yeah, they're still around.
Whatever happened to Dark Horse?
They're still, like,
Dark Horse is still around.
They're putting out Dr. McNinja.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they put out David Malkin's Wondermark book. They put out Akewood. They put out the Akewood books.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I had no idea. Like, this.
Dark Horse jumped on webcomics before anyone else. They published Mega Tokyo, Redstring,
yeah,
and stuff. See, like that.
That's, you know, that's, I think it was, did Dark Horse do it originally, or was it someone else that did it originally? Because I don't think Dark Horse is doing it anymore.
No, DC took over doing Mega Tokyo.
Ah.
It's the only manga they kept, actually, because they had their CMX imprint.
And that's
that,
right.
That evaporated, but now Mega Tokyo is a DC comic.
All right, well, I think that just goes to show that the big...
Oh yeah,
they are catching on.
Yeah, Mega Tokyo, especially. It's the only real selling American manga in Japan. Like,
so I mean that alone is pretty incredible.
Yeah, when I think about, like, how young webcomics is as an industry, if you can even call it that. Like, I am constantly surprised. I try not to think about it too much because, like, everyone's doing, like, all these amazing things. I feel like, oh, I have to catch up. Such a polite, competitive environment. Like, everyone just wants to do...
I like that description, a polite, competitive environment.
Yeah, it's very gentlemanly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'll tell you, I mean, everyone we've interviewed so far has been way... I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Very, like, very gracious, very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's really funny that, like, of all things, like, okay, like, comics and internet has produced some of the most socially well-adjusted... and chatty creators. I wonder if it's just because, like, we're stuck in our houses all day, like, just mashing away at keyboards. Like, when we finally get set loose on a wonderful town like Bethesda, Maryland,
yeah,
like, all of a sudden we're a flutter and chatting with everyone. And
yeah, I mean, you tell the average person you're going to a comics convention, and the look on their face of just abject
terror.
They do
not. They, like, comic conventions,
costumes, crazy
yeah.
things going. But I mean, you come here. I mean, this is a comics convention, but everyone is polite.
I mean, to Dragon Con.
No, I mean it's just I've been to those conventions. It's I've been to both ends of the spectrum. I've been. Yeah. And I mean, but I mean,
I mean, I've been in Baltimore during the Baltimore Comic Con.
Yeah.
I can't say I've been to Baltimore Comic Con. I hear it's fun. I've been to Dragon Con. That is a costuming convention, and it is a sight to see. Mm. I saw like people go as far as to dressing their cars up. I saw a Mortal Kombat themed car at Dragon Con, and at that point, I realized I'm not part of this.
Yeah,
it's like, fun. Like it's super fun to like look at. Like I want to go there and just like be a spectator. As opposed to be a creator at it.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of a sociological experiment. It's like, you know, watch the nerd in his native habitat.
Yeah. So any listeners out there who might have been apprehensive about coming to SPX because of the phrase comics convention, rest assured you will have a fun and safe time here.
Yeah, they are. They're not going to scare you off.
Yeah. Well, Frank, it has been excellent talking to you. We will let you go back to your artistic endeavors.
Yeah, peddle my wares.
Peddling your wares.
Hey, kid, you liking the comic books? Well, I love the comics.
Well, actually, speaking of wares, do you have any projects you want to plug, you know, while we have you on?
What are we up to? Well, we have Tiny Kin Teeth and we have Tiger Butter, which is like our spinoff thing. That's like
yes.
We did a fake golden book, like in the style of like 1950s, 1960s children's books.
Yep.
Going for like the I hate to say retro, but it's like I guess that is the term for it. We did that recently, and we're doing a sequel to that. We're putting out a hardcover of Tiny Kin Teeth next year.
Oh yeah,
we're starting on a graphic novel for a company, like an actual one, you know, with like a
really
yeah,
all right,
yeah,
exciting.
And we also have a vinyl figure coming out through Cherry Vinyl at New York Comic Con. It's like our first foray into that. We're also doing animation at the moment for Yo Gabba Gabba, nice. Alongside
really?
Meredith Grand.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it's I'm
and
super fortunate.
All this is up on your website, correct?
Yes, it is. You can find out about all the things I punish myself with on a daily basis. Like they're also fun, but like occasionally, like when I start to list off the things I'm doing, I'm just like, oh good lord, what have I signed myself up for?
Yeah.
All right. Well. Frank
Gibson, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Thank you for boldly going nowhere.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Los Tres Monos production. For more podcasting goodness, check us out at boldlygoingnowhere.podomatic.com.
Check out my podcast, BNS Reviews, at bnsreviews.podomatic.com.
Or if you're into the social networking scene, look up either BS Reviews or Boldly Going Nowhere podcasts at Facebook or Twitter.